the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Yes, and don't forget, sometime during the Top 5 at 5, we're going to give you a chance to win a $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview, so keep your headphones on. A little different Top 5 at 5 today, Rich, because things are a little, the world is a crazy place. So let's get started and see what we can do.
Number five
is an interfaith prayer service was held in Dallas earlier today for the victims of last night's protest shootings. Pastor Jeff Warren of the Park City's Baptist Church stressed the importance of building bridges in tough times.
I want to encourage us on a personal note. Find someone of another color. Find someone who's not like you today. Tell them that they're loved by God. They're loved by you. Build bridges across racial lines. Friends, Dr. King told us, his words echo forth from this square, we must learn to live together as brothers, or we will die together as fools. Let love be our banner. Let love drive us all, and may grace win the day.
It is getting, I don't know, I mean, we've lived through a lot of times, a lot of hard times, but it seems that our gap is getting wider and wider.
It does, and that we need more words like that from Pastor Warren. There's a man of God actually speaking the true word of God.
Yeah, not
far too often people invoke their faith to judge others,
right,
to say that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And I just really admire what he had to say there.
Yeah, he's not trying to incite anybody. He's not trying to polarize any. It's like, hey, here's the truth.
Build a bridge.
We got to build that bridge.
I like it.
Mayor Mike Rawlings, who called for the service in an effort to create an emotional outlet for the community, talked about the need to address the nation's growing racial tension.
We will not shy away from the very real fact that we as a city, as a state, as a nation, are struggling with racial issues. They continue to divide us. Yeah. Yes, it's that word race, and we've got to attack it head on. I will tell you, this is on my generation of leaders. It is on our watch that we have allowed this to continue to fester, that we have led the next generation down a vicious path of rhetoric and actions that pit one against the other.
Also admirable, a mayor taking responsibility and saying we have to do better. And Brian, you talked about this. It's like, it feels like every other week, it's almost like electronic wallpaper. It's the mayor of Orlando with the police chief,
right,
the mayor of Dallas with the police chief,
that's
the mayor of Baltimore with the police chief, press conference after
thoughts
press conference
thoughts and prayers
after press
where
conference.
Everybody's sending thoughts and prayers. We need some real talk.
Yeah.
And it's getting harder and harder to envision a time where we're actually going to get past this. I know we can. I hope that we can. But the first step is going to be the hardest. And then we're trying to figure out how to get there. All right. You want to handle
number four.
Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich joined CNN's Van Jones in a discussion on Facebook Live earlier today. And this was a bit surprising. Mm-hmm. He told Jones that, quote, normal white Americans can't relate to the black experience.
And it took me a long time a number of people talking to me over the years to begin to get a sense of this. If you are a normal white American, the truth is you don't understand being black in America, and you instinctively underestimate the level of discrimination and the level of additional risk in a way that you have to have a corrective. But the minute you start getting the corrective, so Black Lives Matter in a sense, and I like your point, Black Lives Matter too, would in fact try to be a corrective, which initially people reject because it's not in their world.
What does he mean by normal white people? That's the thing.
Everything he said after that, he was trying to say.
I see what he's saying.
Yeah, but that was just such an unfortunate.
Right.
I think he meant the average white American,
right,
the typical white
Most
American,
white
maybe
America.
The insulated white American, which I think there aren't as many as he thinks. But here's Newt Gingrich, who's an old school guy, attempting to say, it's finally occurred to me. I finally have learned that I can't relate to this, which is sort of amazing. But
right,
by throwing that normal in there, Brian, I think he lost all momentum with what he was trying to say.
Because he had, I get it.
He meant
had
well.
Some good points.
It's a classic
right.
thing, but geez.
His delivery failed.
It just illustrated we've got further to go. And then he then mentioned violence here, and he used that as an example.
Chicago is a disaster. At a human level, for people, particularly in a handful of neighborhoods. I mean, large parts of Chicago are just fine, and those folks don't seem to get it. But there are neighborhoods that are war zones as bad as anything in the Middle East. And last weekend, they were averaging 2 shootings an hour. Why does it not exist? If you think about it, in the national conscience, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't exist for the president who's from Chicago, or the Senator Clinton who was born there, doesn't exist for the Congress, doesn't exist apparently for Springfield and the state government. It's just, oh, gee, you know, there's this zone where people happen to get killed.
I don't believe anybody is that flippant about what's happening here. Up to a point, I was like, yes, Newt is making cogent points. There are neighborhoods here that a lot of people who live outside those neighborhoods can't fathom living like that. But then again, he trivialized it because you have to make it political. Mm-hmm. Who really, do you believe any leader is like, oh yeah, whatever, that happens?
No. Yeah, for Newt Gingrich to say that about, you know, us as Chicagoans, I live in Chicago, and yes, I live in a neighborhood that's not, you know, anywhere near at risk as other neighborhoods, but you know, I come from the south suburbs, and I certainly know people, and I'm in the neighborhoods a lot. And Barack and Michelle Obama did not grow up in great privilege. They, you know, they did very well, and they went to elite schools, but they earned that. And to suggest that now is the president at risk? Well, he is in a very different fashion, but not to daily neighborhood violence, but to suggest that, you know, whatever you want to say about our state officials, our city officials, they feel this and they are aware of this. Trust me, every single day, Rahm Emanuel starts his morning every single morning by calling the chief of police, whoever it may be, and asks for a report. And he does every single morning. The first phone call he makes is the chief of police saying, what's the report from last night? And unfortunately, it's never good.
No, and we know the areas that are the hardest hit, but even if we don't live there, we still, while we may not feel it as genuinely as the people who live there, we absolutely don't, we are aware of what's happening, and so are our leaders. Oh, man, it's a heavy top five at five today, Rich. Thanks for being here. I appreciate the help.
Number three,
speaking of President Obama, President Obama spoke from a NATO summit in Warsaw earlier today and urged Americans to keep in perspective the sacrifice made by those in law enforcement.
Let me just say that even as yesterday I spoke about our need to be concerned as all Americans about racial disparities in our criminal justice system, I also said yesterday that our police have an extraordinarily difficult job. And the vast majority of them do their job in outstanding fashion. I also indicated the degree to which we need to be supportive of those officers who do their job each and every day, protecting us and protecting our communities. Today is a wrenching reminder of the sacrifices that they make for us.
Well, you and I were talking about this in the break. I can't imagine being a police officer last night or today anywhere in this country, putting on the uniform, leaving the house, knowing that this happened in Dallas, where the community and the police department seemed to get along, to go out here in Chicago as a police officer today has got to be that extra level of nerves that you don't usually have to deal with.
It's always been and always will be a very risky job. And when you put on that gun belt and you put on that bulletproof jacket and you head out the door, whether it's your wife or your husband or whatever the case says goodbye, there's always that chance you might not come home. But on top of whatever patrol you're on or whatever job you're doing, to think that there are some people who think that it's just open season, as you mentioned with the Dallas police officers who were keeping the peace during a peaceful protest.
Right. Everybody seemed to be getting
along
fine.
And it was going just fine the way it is supposed to be, who are protecting our rights to free speech. And to have some maniacal coward shoot at you from the rooftops, there's a whole new level of risk in being a law enforcement official in this day and age.
And listen, I agree with the president. The vast majority of police officers, we know this, the vast majority do a great job.
Of course.
Yes, there are some who do a horrible job and step way outside their boundaries, and they have to be addressed. But just because of a few, we can't target the whole.
Of course.
It's unbelievable. All right, let's tell you, we need a break. I need a little sippy sip. Brian Noonan for Rowan Anna, and we are in the midst of the top five at five. Richard Roper is in the studio with us. His reviews, movie reviews, coming up after 6 o'clock, but he is helping us out with the top five at five, which, as you can imagine today, the top five at five, a little heavier than normal, but that's what the events call for.
Absolutely.
That's how it goes. And it's funny. We were talking about how you guys approach things on Good Day Chicago and WGN Morning News. All these shows do things a little different on days.
Yeah,
like
the same
today.
Way you know, as Steve will do in his morning show here,
right.
and Bill and Wendy the whole team. You know, you want to strike that balance, and from a media standpoint, you know, we still want to keep the viewers informed about what's happening locally. So you're still doing the traffic and the weather. And Good Day mm-hmm. Chicago, we still did that and did some segments. We're still going to talk about movies. Because one of the great things about this country, Brian, is that life does go on for most of us. We're fortunate. We're blessed. You know, treasure every day. But that's the best way. They always say that. That's what Rudy Giuliani said, you know, these 15
exactly.
years ago. Come back to New York. Go to the shows. Don't desert us. Don't hide in your homes. You can't do that. So we'll do the same thing as we're doing here, but as you mentioned, for the top five, it's, you know, it's a day where we have to talk about what's happening in the news.
And
course.
You don't forget just because you're talking about something else.
Exactly.
Number two,
Rich.
Trevor Noah offered up actually a prescient thought on last night's episode of The Daily Show. It tapes in the afternoon, so this was actually before the tragedy in Dallas took place.
Such a strange world to be in. You're either a cats person or a dog person. You know, you're Red Sox or you're Yankees. You know, when you text, you either type lol or ha ha ha. I mean, personally, I'm lol. And I know a lot of people are ha ha ha, and I respect that. Anyway, the point is, it's either one or the other. But with police shootings, it shouldn't have to work that way. For instance, if you're pro-Black Lives Matter, you're assumed to be anti-police. And if you're pro-police, then you surely hate Black people. It seems that it's either pro-cop and anti-Black or pro-Black and anti-cop, when in reality, you can be pro-cop and pro-Black, which is what we should all be. It is what we should be aiming for.
Isn't it odd to you, Rich, that the comedy news shows are the ones that make the most perfect points?
That has been the way, you know, ever with Jon Stewart and obviously with Bill Maher and now with Trevor Noah.
And
you're
John
right.
And
John Oliver, who does an amazing job.
That show is
brilliant.
Phenomenal.
And is, you know, look, this goes back, you know, hundreds of years. Sometimes the comics have the best social commentary, you know, whether we're talking about Jonathan Swift or Mark Twain. Yeah. So and a lot of younger people, too, they turn to these shows for their news, which is a little scary sometimes.
that's very
but
scary.
But a lot of great points are made, including that one right there.
Yeah, you don't. You know. It's not exclusive.
No.
You can be pro both and still pick out bad things of each one. All right, let's finish things up with
number 1.
Number one, and I never thought I would have a number one in the top five of five that had Snoop D-O-double-G in it, but I do. It was a remarkable moment. The Game and Snoop Dogg forged an alliance with L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti and LAPD Police Chief Charlie Beck in an emotionally powerful plea for peace. The Game and Snoop, who were in downtown L.A. Friday morning for a peace march, met with the mayor and the chief behind closed doors, and then they all walked out in lockstep to make their case for everyone to stop the killings, the murders, the carnage, and to live in peace.
Our whole mission today was to move in peace and to show that L.A. can be unified, and not to bash the police, but to come up here and get some dialogue and some communication, because we're all angels, like he said. We're all from Los Angeles. We all represent the same cause, and we all want to go home to our families.
And you've spent a lot of time in L.A. I lived out there for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the police forces that had a horrible reputation and well-deserved horrible reputation for their race relations.
Yeah, just throughout the 70s and 80s, and then, of course, you know, the nation and the world found out about it during the O.J. Simpson trial, where it ended up being the LAPD. LAPD was on
trial.
Yeah,
so that was that. Snoop went on to talk about how a simple conversation can change things.
We are here to show love and support to the police force in Los Angeles and get some understanding and some communication. And we feel like this is a great start. We want to thank them for letting us come into this situation today. We didn't know that we were going to be graduating students, but this is even better because now these students that are about to hit the streets can know that there is some sort of dialogue going on, and they don't have to be fearful, and they can do their jobs and know that when you stop somebody, you're a conversation away from sending them home or taking them to jail, but the conversation is key.
Well, and it's a lot of people go, why would the mayor and the police chief meet with Snoop Dogg, who's, you know, those are the kind of people you need to reach out to, yeah, because Snoop Dogg and the game, they have their hands in the community. They're the ones, if you convince them and you show them, hey, we're trying, you guys try too, they can convince the community to say, all right, well, you know, let's give this a shot.
Yeah, absolutely true. A lot of people in the entertainment world, and people get upset. They'll say, you know, they're not role models, they're not leaders, but they are whether they want to or not. So they might as well embrace it and try to do some good with your name recognition and your 300 zillion Twitter followers. So that's right. I give Snoop credit for speaking out in this manner.
Yeah, he put down the gin and juice and he did some good, and I'm happy about that.
And as you said, Brian, you can have both. You can have gin and juice and respect for the law.
Right.
There
See,
you go.
It all
See?
Comes together.
Beautifully said.
Let's end on a high note,
yeah,
and give somebody a $50 gift,
yes,
certificate to Builder Supply Outlet. Pick a number, Rich.
I'm going to go with 4.
Number 4 at 312-981-7200. You will get a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview with true outlet prices every day. Check out The Edge. It's their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom.
The top five at five.